The Alpha Sessions.
Welcome to Alpha Sessions. My name is Nina, and I'm joined today by wonderful Sarah Crimson. Hi.
Hello.
Lovely to meet you.
Love to be here.
Good to have you here. Bear with us. It's my first time presenting here today. I'm very excited to be here. But it's your second time. You've already been interviewed here before.
Yes.
So you know what you're doing.
Exactly. I hope.
I think before we get into your music and everything, I wanted to ask you something a little bit about your name. Because I know Sarah Crimson is not your actual name. It's your stage name. Your actual name is Sarah Monterusso.
Si, yes.
And I wanted to ask, how did that come about? What inspired you for the name that you chose?
So that's a very good question. Yeah. And I love when people ask me that because I just saw that since I always wanted to sing songs in English and to appeal more to the English speaking world and like more broad word, I thought that maybe it would have been hard for people to pronounce my name and last name, Sarah. That's easy, but Monterosso would be a little bit harder. So, and also it's very long. So I said, okay, let's take, of course I'm Italian, so let's take the rosso, which means red, and the crimson, which is a shade of red, that, it's cremisi. So you put it together and you add a K, because the K is a little bit more, I don't know, exotic, I don't know how to
English.
Say it. English, maybe, yeah. I added an H, because my actual name is Sarah without the H. So I put Sarah Crimson. It's just like the red of my last name translated into the shade of red with a K.
I love that.
Thank you.
Because I was trying to think about it, and I was like, I don't know. That's such a cool backstory. Love. And a little bit of color theory for that,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, so you already kind of alluded to that you're obviously not English, but Italian.
Yeah.
So when did you move to London or the UK? How long have you been here?
I've moved to London exactly 10 years ago. And October this year is going to be 11 years. Moved exactly to do music. That's why I moved. And yeah.
That's the reason you moved?
Yes,
you're
the reason I
moved. Doing music, you were like, okay, I'm going to do this in London because...
I closed my eyes and I jumped.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did. I put money aside for a year before moving, and then I just went for it. It was very hard, but I'm really glad I did it.
I love that. That actually leads me into some other questions that I had, because I was going to ask, when did you kind of like start getting into singing, songwriting? And I was going to ask, is that something that you're already doing in Italy? And I guess you already alluded to it.
Let's say that I was always... I didn't know that I wanted to be a singer when I was very, very, very young. But I've noticed that usually people wanted me to sing, or they would put me like, I don't know, school recitals. They would ask me, Sarah, you're going to sing? Or I would go to, I don't know, song contest. And then I was like, oh, maybe I can do this for a living because I really like music. And I really like writing. I really like English. Why not put everything together? What can I be? Singer-songwriter. Cool. Then I started learning English to write my music, because the thing that I love to do more than singing is songwriting. So I really put a lot of time into learning how to write songs in a language that's not my mother tongue, which is very hard when, you know, you have to learn after. And then I moved exactly to do that. I had to stop for some time due to some mental health problems, but then I got into it exactly in 2020. When COVID hit, then a lot of things happened, and then I was like, no, I'm going to do it for real.
And you had lots of time, I guess, to start.
Maybe that's why.
So you said that you started, like, you got really into songwriting. What kind of, like, drew you most to songwriting? Why do you say that that's kind of, like, your biggest passion more than the singing?
That's an amazing question, and I think it's because it's easier for me to understand my emotions by writing them down. Because now obviously I go to therapy, but before I didn't. And I didn't know how to express my emotions, how to express myself, how to tell people what I was feeling. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start doing it, but in a different language. So I can detach from the emotional side that's connected to Italian. That's why I chose a different language, and it was English. And for some reason, everything came pouring out. And I was like, oh, maybe I can really, really do this, even if it's not my mother tongue. And and also I love creating stories. I love telling stories. As a kid, I would read so many books, mainly narratives, novels, not realism at all, because I like stories. I like fantasy. I like, you know, some magic in it. So I can tell stories. And yeah, that's why.
I love that. I love everything about this. And I think it makes so much sense. We kind of like briefly touched upon this off camera and off microphone about like how it's easier to detach yourself from kind of like your writing and your thoughts when it's not your first language and it's not attached to like kind of childhood trauma or like anything that really is very emotional. So that kind of leads me also to another question, which is, have you ever written and sang in Italian? Have you tried that? Is that something you've tried and you said, no, I don't want to do that at all anymore?
Okay, that's a very good question, because I always get asked that when I tell people I'm Italian. And the answer is 20%. Why? Because I knew that I never wanted to write in Italian for that exact reason. But it is nice sometimes to be able to sing in another language. And it's my mother tongue. So I have right now exactly 2 songs out of, 25 recorded that have the bridge. So it's a very short part of the song that's in Italian. So I have these 2 songs. And that for now, I don't know what's going to happen later in life. But for now, that's how I want to keep it. 90% English, 90 or 100% English, and then 20% Italian. 10%. Sorry, I'm not good at math, sorry. But it was 10%, yeah.
Nice. No, but I love that. I actually love songs that do like a little bit of both.
And yeah,
like,
same.
When you have, yeah, I've seen like, also I've had, like, heard songs where it's like 2 or 3 different languages like kind of like brought in, and I think that's so cool. And
yeah,
it also reflects the kind of like world we live in. Like you barely meet anyone anymore that is only like from one culture and from one place. So it's beautiful to be able to kind of like incorporate that. And like you say, you kind of do it as you want. Like, you're like, you know what? Mainly English, but I just want to show a little bit of
what I can do, which is speaking my language.
Yeah, exactly.
My roots. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So tell me a little bit more about the song Quicksand that has been out already for a little bit. So you kind of like released it as an EP.
It's a single.
A single.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I've released a single from my first full-length album that's going to come out somewhere by the end of the year, I think. And Quicksand, EE is actually one of the most specific stories, because usually my stories, my songs are all about these feelings that I have, but this is about an experience that I've had. When I moved here, I've mentioned before that I didn't do music for a long time because I was suffering from mental health, and that led me to just choose a different job, because right now I do have a day job, but it's a lot different because I do music as well. But back then it was harder to get into music. So, and this job was the whole environment of it, the people, everything there was very exploitative. And I think that happens a lot when you're very, very young, because I was 19, going on 20. And I felt like I was being, like life was being drawn out my veins. And obviously, everybody's going to have a different side to the story. But from my perspective, it was something like are making me like, is like working for someone else to make sure that someone else's dream comes true, and these people are telling you, yeah, you help us, and then after you're gonna help yourself, you're gonna help your dream and stuff. But then after I realized, no, that's not what I'm here to do, you know. And I wrote a song about that and how it made me feel. And when COVID hit, I mean, we had to, it was a company we had shut it down, and it was the best thing that had happened to me. I know that you feel like you owe them everything that you bring upon yourself. When they rip you apart, place the knife in your own hand.
eyes have lost the key, and I don't love my bones enough to keep me here. And I drag myself home, I'm burning up, and my heart fills with void, and this void's filled with you. I know that you're a ghost to them. No, is there nothing else that you are to them? When they feed you sweet talks, while they bathe your heart in quicksand. And right now I'm locked out, 'cause I've lost the key, and I don't know my bones enough to keep me here. And I drug myself, oh, I'm burning up, and my heart fills with void, and this void's filled with you. And I know when you lie, when you cheat in the morning in the heat, you suffocate me in my thoughts river. And you know when the bells start from the church up the hill, I never make it out alive. But my one sweet died of mind. And right now I'm locked out, 'cause I've lost the key, and I don't love my bones enough to keep me here. And I drag myself, oh, I'm burning up, and my heart fills with void, and this void's filled with you.
The Alpha Sessions.
What, who, or where is your biggest inspiration when you write a song?
Right, so it changed over the years. Before, it was the stories I read. I would read, for example, like just, I don't know, Red Riding Hood or The Sleeping Beauty, and I would read them in Italian, and then I would go online and read them in English, and then I would learn the words, and then I would use those words to write a story, and just a made-up story about just once I wrote a song, there was a letter to myself, and for some reason I made up this word, which is Mad Rose, because I love roses, and I called it Mad Rose, and it was this story of a girl sitting on the shore just waiting for the waves to come and take her away. That was the story. So that's how it started. But later I've started to listen to artists that I loved back then, reading their lyrics and learning how to phrase things through their lyrics. And I, obviously, musicians that have a type of music that, like, I like and I know what I make as well. So these, like, technically, these are my influences. Like, reading stories, telling stories, listening to artists that I love, and bringing everything together through music. And then after, when I learned how to do that, I started to apply all of these things that I learned to my life. And now I mainly write about my life and my struggles with mental health.
Okay, love. That's so interesting. And I love that. And that it has, like, even the way you explain this has, like, I can see that you're like a storyteller. Like, I can tell. So you've mentioned that obviously you have other artists that you like, quite inspired by. Who would those be? Like, what? I mean, I know that's always a hard question because it's like there's hard. So many different ones.
Exactly.
But I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh my God, that's so hard.
Wrong answers only.
So I would say that right now I am influenced by specifically Nine Inch Nails. Mm-hmm. For their kind of electronic sound and industrial sound. And I always mention Joy Division because it's always where I go to, where the people ask me, what are you influenced by? I say Joy Division. Because when I heard their music, I like my music changed completely because I like, this is exactly what I want to do. So right now I would say those two. And usually I use those to explain what my music is, like what's the genre, because it changed over the years. And I say a mix of Joy Division and Nine Inch Nails, which is like the genre should be called Dark Wave, I think. So I think right now that's my answer. I won't go deep into it because there are so many. Then it was Lana Del Rey, then we got Emily Autumn, then you got Nightwish, which is a metal Finnish band, for example. So yeah, it's a lot.
I know, that's so interesting. Yeah, I know. And I think that's the best thing about inspiration is that you draw from so many different genres as well, and you create like kind of your own thing rather than from people that might sound already similar, and then you just kind of like
copying.
Yeah, exactly. And you also already answered another question I had, but maybe I'm going to dig a bit deeper into that, which is going to be, what would you describe your sound as? Because I personally, I'm rubbish at describing music. I always find that so hard. Like when people ask you also like, what like kind of music are you into? I'm kind of like, I don't know, play me something and I'll tell you if I like it. Like if that, like that sounds good, that not so much. But you especially, when I like listen to some of your stuff, like I really like the kind of like darky like synthy. You also like mentioned like electronic a little bit, which I'm very into personally, so I like love that. What would, I'm gonna put you on the spot again because I'm like, I don't know how to describe music, you tell me. You said you would call it dark wave.
That's the name that you actually, just the name of the genre that you give to this type of genre. It is a kind of post-pop music mixed with synth and electronic music, like explained in a very like quick way. That would be it. And one thing that you have to do right in these days in the music industry is to, you have to pin down your music to a genre, even if you don't want to, because of course, like sometimes you can do dark wave, sometimes it's just pop rock, sometimes it's indie rock, okay. But it is very useful for an artist to know where you fit. So in order to say, okay, I make dark wave music, that's who I am. And then from that, you can expand. And so I would say right now it's dark wave. My earlier stuff were more like kind of poppy or like indie pop, alt pop, dark pop. Then it became dark pop, then alternative. And now I can say dark wave. And I think that I have finally found my sound, because that's exactly what I love. And it's a... post-punk, so a lot of bass, very dark green, bass synth, all mixed together, which is nice.
Nice, like you can really like feel it. And I love anything with a heavy bass line.
I was about to say that. You can feel the bass, you feel it like in your chest. It's amazing. I love that.
Nice. And it's so interesting also what you said about like that you obviously don't want to put yourself in a box, but you kind of have to for like the industry and in general, because people will always ask you like, what do you define yourself as? Or like, just because they need to like place you somewhere. But I love what you also explained that, you know, that can change. Like you started off somewhere, then you've noticed that you were shifting towards something else. Now you found your sound. This might stay your sound forever. It might change again. Else, exactly. Yeah. And that's beautiful. It's just about the awareness around it and like being able to like define, but also say, you know, that doesn't mean that that's where I need to stick.
Exactly. Yeah. I really like, it takes a long time because I've been doing this for 10 years and like more professionally for like 6 years. But we grow up, we change, and our music changes with us. We don't have to think that we're going to stay the same forever. Like if I want to start doing, like for example, when I moved here 10 years ago, I would say I'm going to be a huge pop star. But now if I, in the hindsight, I'm like, what the? No, that's not me. Mm-hmm. That's completely not me. I'm more like the more kind of dark wave, rock, punk and kind of independent artist. But it's normal to have these dreams, especially when you're younger and then you grow up and you don't kind of change them, but you refine them while you grow up, because that's like the adult you're becoming and you have to be happy. I think it would be worse if they stayed the same throughout, but they have to change with you. And if they change with you, it means that you are, I think, at least that's how I see it, you are on the right track to making them happen.
And you also, I guess, get to know yourself better, because I feel like when I was younger as well, like you might have dreams, you think they're your dreams, but you're just kind of like jumping on bandwagons of like what you hear or like what you see is fun. But like the more you get to know yourself, the more you realize, actually, this is what I want. It doesn't need to be what everyone else is doing or what
I don't have to meet anyone else's expectation. Because when we're young, it's easier for us to not be manipulated. That's the wrong word that I said, but like to be influenced a bit by what other people think, especially because we are so young, like you're 20, 21, 22, and still you are creating your personality. It's normal to want to belong somewhere. It's completely normal, but at the same time, it's also healthy to, at the same time, create who you're going to be, because that's the person you're going to have to live with forever. And it's normal to change, to make mistakes, to say, okay, I did that. I'm not that person anymore. Let's leave that in the past. I'm going to forgive myself, and then I'm going to move forward. And then you understand that if you want to live in the world that we're in, it's important that you compromise a bit. For example, the compromise I'm talking about is putting your genre in a box. It's normal to say, if someone asks me, my genre is dark wave, but it's useful because let's say that you are submitting a song to a playlist, you can say dark wave. If you're going to play in a festival, you can say dark wave. But if you're playing in a pub, like, what do you make? I don't know, you tell me. Because here I don't have to tell you that I make dark wave, because how are you going to know? Just listen to the music. That's what I mean with compromises. I don't mean huge compromises. This is a compromise to independent artists, I think.
I also wanted to talk to you about Chasing Blue, another song that...
Chasing Blue, now I'm going to go technical. Yeah. So there's this thing that sometimes when you are depressed or you have anxiety, you do this thing that's called maladaptive daydreaming. And maladaptive daydreaming is where you...
Wait, say that again?
Maladaptive daydreaming.
Okay.
It's when you live in your head. Mm-hmm. So obviously, because I was bullying a lot growing up, so I didn't have a lot of friends. So what I would do, I would go home and read books, and I would create stories. And then I had to talk to someone, so I started to create people in my head. And every time, I just wanted to be alone, listening to music, to talk to this world that I created in my brain that wasn't real. But that's where I wanted to live, because I didn't like reality. But it was about... It felt like chasing something that wasn't really there. And the more I grew up, the more depression deepened and anxiety. And I also went through psychosis and a lot of other things. I would go to this world more and more and more and more. But the fact that I'm also a very rational person, my rational part knew that this world was fake. And I would get more depressed, because then when the realization would come, I would like, oh my God, this is all fake. So this is not the world I'm living in. I'm living in this other world, and I'm, oh my God. So
that must be so hard and tough.
It is.
Like, to,
and it's also
yeah.
kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it's literally wanting to be on your own all the time and to, you know, daydreaming. And daydreaming is healthy, but when it becomes maladaptive, it's not healthy anymore. This is the thing. And I wrote a song about that, about chasing something that's not there. Mm-hmm.
On the water, my heart's a mess and blood streams down the microphone. Hello, hello, don't hang up the phone and cut the wire. Paint my nails in pink and black. My head starts to spin. Oh, hello, hello, don't promise me you'll keep on breathing. Gave you my heart for you to break it. Ah, the world is a scary place, and I'm down the pit with snakes. Promise me you'll keep on breathing, even when my body's shaking. Ah, and when darkness comes and drags me, it wraps me up so tightly. Daughter, so let me lie here in the water. I know I'm not a good sister. Oh, hello, hello, don't. Might I be a good girlfriend? Not the friend I think I am. Just go ahead and leave. You'll keep on breathing, even when my body's shaking. Ah. is a scary place, and I'm down the pit with snakes. Promise me you'll keep on breathing. Gave you my heart for you to break it. And when darkness comes and drags me, it wraps me up so tightly. A thousand men leave me, save me from myself. Critical, the voice in my head. They said frantic, but it's medical. Just call me hysterical. Run me low on love makes my heart weak. These hands feel like a thousand knives. Promise me you'll keep on breathing. Give you my heart for you to break it. Ah, the world is a scary place, and I'm down the pit with snakes. Promise me you'll keep on breathing, even when my body's shaking. Ah, and when darkness comes and drags me, it wraps me up so tightly.
The Alpha Sessions.
Going back to what you were saying of like kind of like knowing yourself and like understanding yourself better, I think you're doing a great job at that. Like, clearly you're like, you know, you can tell that you're someone that has thought about this a lot and has been doing this for a lot. Going back to another point that you've mentioned before, like, you know, your kind of mental health journey, how has your mental health influenced your songwriting, or also how has your songwriting like helped you in your mental health journey? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Love that question, because that's exactly why I do it, and that's exactly what helped me stay grounded. I've been diagnosed with clinical depression in 2021, but it was something that had like been going on for years, and I had no idea. And then I moved here, I got worse and worse and worse and worse, until one day I talked to my therapist. She was like, Sarah, maybe you have to start taking antidepressants or that, and I started this journey. And during that journey, it's different from everyone, but it can take also up to 6 or 7 months to start working. So at the beginning, you're like, is this really working? And when I was still like suffering from it, I took 2 notebooks and I started writing out my life, and that helped a lot. And that, like, I knew back then that was the moment where I knew that that's who I want to be, that's what I want to do, I want to write, because that helped me. And if through my songs I can help someone feel a little bit less alone and help them go through their life, that's already like, that's what I think I'm born to do, if that makes sense. We all think we are born to do something. And I just want people to find a community where they can say, okay, it's normal to be down. It's okay to feel, to know that you're not okay. It's okay to have, to suffer from this type. Sorry if I'm a little bit it's hard to talk about these things.
Yeah, I want to talk doing about a great these job. Things. Thank you. You're doing
it's
a great
just
job.
A little bit hard, but it's something that
take
has to
time.
Be done.
Yeah.
But it's normal and it's okay if you're not okay. Basically, that's what it is. You're not okay, it's normal. You're having a bad day, you're having a bad month, a bad year, it's fine. But it doesn't mean that you are lost. Mm. Means there are people that understand you out there, and there's a way out. Because I've seen it, and that's why I say it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I guess you'll, no, don't be, no, this is great. And also, now what I wanted to like say is that like people can be seen, like they can feel seen.
Mm.
Like if they hear, you know, like someone, you know, that is putting themselves out there and be like, you know, they've been through it, then okay, if they managed to come out of there now and like, you know, look at them, like, you know, showing all their music on social media now and everything, then I can do it too. So I think that's definitely, like, I'm sure, like, that you're great.
That's a very good take. Thanks for coming to my rescue, actually. That's perfect. That's exactly how it is. Like, you put yourself out there after suffering. You tell people what you went through. And some people are like, I've had people coming up to me and say, like, I love the vulnerability, because every time I perform, I say a little bit about the song a little bit before. And people sometimes are like, I love the vulnerability. Oh, I felt that way too. Or like, after talking to you, after listening to your song, I've started going to therapy. And when I hear this, I'm like, yes, this is working.
That must be like the best. That's so much better than any numbers or
exactly. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Because you can just help someone a bit by writing a song and putting it out there. I'm
getting goosebumps. I love that. No, and thank you so much for, like, being so open about it and wanting to talk about it. And I think it's so important, actually, to be emotional around these conversations.
Yeah.
Because it is something that does affect, you know, everyone in different degrees and in different ways. And I think the UK is already, like, a country where it's more normalized and the conversations are happening. I think we're both from Italy. We know that it's a bit different.
So
I think that also helped. But it's still something that is difficult for everyone. So, yeah, well done for, championing that, and, like, for having even had people reach out to you and telling them that you made them feel better. Like, I think that's, like, beautiful, the best, best thing you could do.
Yeah, that's. I have goosebumps as well, because when I think about it, I'm like, wow. It's something else. I don't know how to describe it. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So maybe then also, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the song that you have performed, Breathe?
Breathe is a song about, it's basically talking to depression. It's like you are humanizing this kind of, I see it as kind of a dark cloud, but you make it a person and you're talking to it. So it's basically this love-hate relationship, because it's like an unbearable pain. I don't know how to describe it. It's continuous. It's always there. It never goes away. But at the same time, it's when you felt that your whole life, it becomes your home. So if you even, like, for a second there, start feeling something different, that it also may be happiness, you're like, what is this? I don't know what this is. I want to go back to my home, because that's what I know. So it's like, you give me room to heal, and but you also give me room to suffer. It's I've used a little bit of the lyrics of the song here, but it's this love hate relationship. Like, I don't want to get out of it. No, actually, no, I didn't want to say that. I want to say that I want to get out of it, but I don't want to at the same time, because that's what I know, and it's so hard. So sometimes people don't understand it if sometimes they haven't gone through it. I don't mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be clinical depression. It can be anything that makes you, that makes you feel like sad, or, you know, it's heavy. You don't really want to get out of it, because that's what you know, and sometimes it's harder for us to change, so to break the cycle.
I love that. Well, I definitely know that will speak to a lot of people, and so that's beautiful. Like you say, it's not just about clinical depression. It could be any sort of, it could be anxiety or other kind of, like, sort of, like, difficulties, stress. Like, it's always, like, this double-edged sort of, like...
Like, you're stuck in a job that you don't like, but you have to gather up the courage to leave it.
Yeah.
That's still hard. That's why you don't, because you know that, but you don't know what's on the other side. But sometimes what's on the other side is better, but until you see it, you're not going to know. So that's why sometimes it's hard.
To breathe, that's why you give to me. Here, swallow me whole, I'm losing control, and I can't feel. Deeper, cut me deeper, we're telling what's paper, now I can't feel anymore. You've got control of me, you got me out to feet. These chains around me, they were never meant to leave. You reduced me to my bones, then you stripped me of my clothes, and now I'm here. Between your fingers, still I love you forevermore. You've got control on me, you got me on to feet. These chains around me, they were never meant to leave. You've got control on me, you got me.
Alpha Sessions.
I guess, like, for you, writing like all these songs and working on these songs has kind of also helped you.
Yeah, it's cathartic.
Working through. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. It helped. And it keeps on helping me and other people, and hopefully more people with the new song that has yeah. come out.
And then, okay, well, I think that leads us to kind of our last point, I think, for today, which is, okay, so like you said, you've been writing for a long time and, you know, you have these songs coming up and also a lot already out there. But you said you're working on your first full-length album?
Yeah, first full-length. I've released already 2 EPs and now I'm going to work on my first full-length album. Yeah, it's going to be called Raw/War. It's kind of
it's an anagram.
And I actually did that also with a song that is called Spine, which is the spine, as you know, but also I sing in Italian in that song and I say spine, which is thorns. So that's how that's why I call it spine, but this is completely like it's not related to this thing.
I love
but anyway,
that.
I wanted to say, oh, in this album there's going to be a song called More. And also, I sing in Italian and I say more, which is blackberries. So that's what I do usually when I use Italian. I use puns, which I really like. And this is the name of the album. It's going to be a whole album about going deeper into mental health in a raw way and how it makes my brain feel like I'm always at a war. And I'm delaying it a lot because I want it to be good. Of course, not perfect. There's not perfection out there. But I really want it to be good this time, like something that feels like I'm telling a whole story through each and every song. And it's going to come out by the end of the year. I don't have the date yet, but hopefully soon.
Okay. Well, we're excited. I'm very excited for it. I love the kind of like word plays that you do. I think that's beautiful and so nice and like tells a story with itself. And I think a lot of, again, people can relate to the kind of being at war with yourself sometimes. So I'm very excited to hear the full thing, and I'll definitely be following along, as everyone should. I think that's all the questions I had, and also looking at the time, I think that's all we had. I think I'd probably have another million questions and we could like endlessly chat. But yeah, thank you so much for coming today. Is there anything else that you wanted to plug? Did you want to maybe tell everyone what's your socials? Anything else? It's now.
No. thank you. Thanks for having me. And I am Sarah Crimson, Sarah with an H, Crimson with a K. So you can find me anywhere just by combining these two words, Sarah Crimson. Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Spotify, any other platform you may think of, just type Sarah Crimson. Sarah with an H, Crimson with a K.
She's got it all. She knows. She's out there. That's me. To be fair, yeah, it took me 2 seconds to find you. So
see?
Your SEO is good. Love. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is Nina, and bye.
The Alpha Sessions.